Boy, Greg and team, thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. Welcome today on the second Sunday of the year. Welcome to our first service here today at the First Colony Church of Christ. Great to see you. Welcome. And for those of you who are following through on a New Year's resolution to be in church, I really commend you for that. I'm glad you're here today and you're saying, well, you know, can I keep it up? Well, you're here today. And I'd like to invite you to come back next Sunday and be with us then as well. And today, our executive minister, Brett Gowans, and I are going to tag team a little bit in a message that we're calling All Together Now. And this is not necessarily a sermon per se. I'm just going to walk through some items that are important to us as a church family and give you hopefully a word of encouragement as well. Let me start and just thank you for your participation, your support, your generosity. In 2011, it was a year of unprecedented participation and generosity on your part. We're very, very grateful for that. Your buy-in is just huge, and we don't want to rest on that. We want to build on that and make 2012 another year that honors Jesus locally and globally. One of the areas in which I'd like to start this morning is just simply walking through a calendar for the next few weeks. Is that okay? All right, let's just kind of put some dates up here. Today is, of course, Ministry Fair Day, and you're going to have Bretta talk to you about that here in just a moment. This evening begins the Divorce Care Ministry, which is a fantastic opportunity for you. This Wednesday night, as was mentioned, I'm kicking off in our Uplift Service a new series on the life of Moses, God's leader and liberator. Fascinating look. You know, the Exodus story, God is still leading us, God is still liberating us, and the great message there is, I am your God, and you are my precious people. And then next Sunday, we start a new slate of adult classes. Now, you have in your handout today a listing of those adult Bible fellowships. I want to mention that we've got a new one starting that I'm going to be a part of. Ed Goforth and I are going to partner in a new Bible class that's starting next Sunday morning. And let me be very, very clear. If you're already in a Bible class, I'm not trying to recruit you away to this new one. But if you're not in one, you're new here, you're just not in one yet, we'd like to invite you to come be a part of ours. Ed's going to do most of the teaching. I'm going to be in charge of the arts and crafts. And we are really looking forward to this new deal. Also, next Sunday, I'm kicking off a new message series. And for several weeks, we're going to be walking through the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. You say, Ronnie, that's a long, long New Testament book. It is. But it's one of the more practical ones, and it's full of issues and questions. I've broken the entire book down into several mini-series. We'll start with a series called Great Church Fights. Then we'll go into sex, singleness, and marriage. I am third, life together, resurrection, and pillar people. On the 17th, our Tuesday ladies class series begins again. On the 18th, the new Wednesday ladies class begins. 2 weeks from today, on the 22nd, Cornerstone Christian Academy Day right here. And then 4 weeks from today, on February the 5th, is our annual Bring a Friend Day. And our speaker this year, I know this is kind of cheesy to say, but this is an offer you shouldn't refuse, okay? Because our guest speaker this year is Michael Francisi, a legitimate conversion story, a fascinating story, and it will be the kind of testimony when it's all said and done, you'll say, oh, I wish I had brought somebody to. It will be a gripping, gripping day. I know not too long ago, I was a dinner conversation with Galen and Kathy Cobb, and they had recently been somewhere and heard Michael Francisi, and they said, we were just on the edge of our seats. It's a fantastic story, and that's coming up 4 weeks from today. All right? All right. Now, let me get into sort of my comments here over the next 10 minutes or so before I hand it off to Brett. Let me show you a brief little video clip, and this is a video clip of two young girls who live in Florence, Alabama, who started a ministry called Handy Lunches.
Thank you. So first, introduce yourselves.
I'm Addison Pointer.
I'm Caitlin Watkins.
Where are we today?
The Handy Lunches.
All right, just simple little ministry, once a month in Florence, Alabama. These girls, without any kind of an attitude or edge or, you know, guilt trip on somebody, they just started a little deal called Handy Lunches. Handy because it's in a community called Handy. It's a housing project, and one Saturday a month, they feed people in the Handy community, Handy Lunches. And all it is two young girls who said, there's a need, we think we can help meet that need, and we'd like to take a step, and we may fail, it may not fly, but it has. Here's a website. This is called Souls for Souls. S-O-L-E-S, Souls for Souls. And it started, you know, after the tsunami overseas, and a guy saw this, and he just saw video of people barefoot. And then after Katrina, he saw people barefoot. And then he got to realize that 300 million children worldwide are without shoes. And their mission is simple. They procure shoes, and they get them to people who are in need. In fact, later this year, there's a possibility that we may be partnering with them in a shoe drive. You know, one Sunday, you may show up, and I'm just going to say, hey, would you take off your shoes? And leave them here. And we're going to send them away. All of you going to be wearing cheap shoes every Sunday. But it started with a guy just said, there's a need, and I'm going to take a step of faith and see what I can do. And it may flat, it may not succeed. There's no guarantee I'm going to get a website. Well, just I'll step out there and see what happens. I love that. Don't you love to see somebody just get out of the boat and try to walk on water? I love that. All right, here's a Bible story for today. Matthew chapter 25. I need you to pay close attention to this one because it's very well known. It's very well known. Okay, here we go. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and he entrusted his wealth to them. Here's the first thing I want to underscore today. You ready? You are vessels of the master's treasure. Jesus trusts you. And all that Jesus wants to do through you, he makes possible. You are a vessel of the master's treasure. He's given you, he's given me opportunities and options and talents and abilities and resources. You are a vessel of his treasure, and that's a fantastic privilege. That is a marvelous privilege and opportunity. Let me be clear. Don't dull your life by telling yourself that you're just an accident. You know, you're just a combination of chromosomes and experience. No, you're not. Jesus knows exactly who you are, and you are a vessel of his treasure. And he's given you those marvelous gifts and talents and opportunities. All right, verse 15. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each, notice this phrase, according to his ability. All right, I got another thing I want to underscore. You ready? Here it is. Please don't believe this lie. Here's the lie. If I can't deliver 5 talents worth, then it's just not worth it. Don't believe that. You are a vessel of the master's treasure, and your service to him as you serve his people is worth it. Do what you can do. Find your joy in your assignments, and you may not be the best. You may not be a 5-talent person. Don't believe the lie that says, well, if it's not 5 talents worth, it's just not worth it. That's not true. Don't worry about the skills you don't have. Don't covet the strengths others have. You just extract your uniqueness and use that. All right, now let's continue with the story. Then the master went on his journey. And the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. And also the one with 2 bags of gold, he gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And here's what the master said to the person with 5 talents and 2 talents who had multiplied them. He said these words. You ready? He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." All right? That's what he said to the person who said, "I'm going to step out here and see what I can do. I'm going to take some action." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came and he said, "Master, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered, so I was afraid." By the way, Edwin Friedman has written a book called A Failure of Nerve. And it's a book that describes what he calls the paralysis of fear in our culture, that so many people are afraid to act, and here's why they're afraid. "I'm afraid you won't think I'm an expert. I'm afraid that you're going to watch me have to go through a learning curve. I'm afraid you're going to ask me a question and I won't be able to answer it like the expert. And so I'm going to just stay over here in my boat seated. Because if I step out, I might sink. I might fail. I might go through a learning curve. I may not come across as the smooth expert. And so rather than not come across like the master of my craft, I just stay seated." Do you have nerve to get out of the boat? "I was afraid. And so I went out and I hid it in the ground. And so, here's what belongs to you." And the master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown, gather where I've not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take this bag of gold from him, give it to the one who has 10 bags, for whoever has will be given more. They will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And throw that worthless servant outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What's the point of that long story Jesus told? Here it is. You don't have to be a rock star to serve. Now, you may be a rock star and you have 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. Who all did Jesus use? He used mama's boys. He used loudmouths. He used pushy women. He used timid men. He used people with a checkered past. He used the guy who said, "I'm going to step out here and I'm going to try to walk on water." And the guy sunk. And he also used the guys who were, you know, couch potatoes, boat potatoes, sitting over here not even trying. But later they eventually, and you don't have to be a rock star. He uses us all. Now, I want to point you back to verse 27 and that phrase that says, "Why didn't you just deposit my money in the bank rather than bury it? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Let me be very clear this morning. This is a church with incredible buy-in and incredible participation. But if you've not yet bought in, if you're not yet participating, if you've not yet stepped out of the boat, I want to challenge you today to become an at least disciple. At least do something, give something, participate in some way. So how do you take action with your talents? Because gang, we need you. We need your help, all of us together. Here's some practical suggestions. Number one, talk to the CEO Jesus and ask, "What do you want me to do? And if it costs me, then so be it. It's going to cost me." And here's the great cost in our culture. You ready? Dependability. I'm willing to be dependable. Secondly, appraise your talents. Appraise your talents. What are you strong in doing? What do you have a heart to step out there and try? And don't believe the myth that says you're too old. You're not too old. If you're walking with the Spirit, you're as fresh as today's sunshine. Number three, ask what's needed now and here. Right now, right here, what's needed. And may I simply give a little plug for teaching children? Most people come to personal faith as children, and childhood shapes all of life, and teachers shape childhood. And whether you're caring for those babies in a nursery, teaching those third graders, providing crowd control for those third graders, or helping to mentor a middle schooler or a high schooler, that's huge. I know a guy who's a CEO of a major company. And he speaks in conferences to thousands of people. What's his ministry in his church? He and his wife teach fifth graders every Sunday. What's needed now and here? Number four, take your first action steps. Go ahead, step out of the boat. And number five, reject the myth that says if it's not easy, then it's not a gift. Gifts must not only be deployed, they also must be developed. And as Paul told Timothy, I want you to fan into flame those gifts from God. All right? Now, as I wind down, I want to point you to one more passage of Scripture, and it's 1 Peter chapter 4. This is a great teaching. It says, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Just think about all the kind of speaking gifts there are. Teaching, yes. What about encouragement? What about that person when you go to dinner and you're around a table of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people, they can just hold that table. Is that you? Are you able to carry on? Are you using those speaking gifts for God's goodness and honor? Do you have the gift of serving, of helping others? Then do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. And then everything that you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Enough, please, of the self-deprecating talk that says, I really don't have anything to offer. Also, please, enough of the arrogant talk that says, I have the most to offer. Let me be clear. You are not God's gift to society, but you are a gift to society. And you are not God's gift to the church, but you are a gift from God to His church. And all of us together, using our speaking gifts, using our serving gifts, some public, some hidden, some five, some one, but faithfulness, we bring it to the Master and we help the cause of Christ along. I want to thank you for your participation. There are wonderful servants throughout this church. If you've not yet crossed that line, I'm asking you to join them. Find your place. It will tether your heart to the body of Christ. We want this to be a place where you belong, and a place where you serve, and a place where you grow. Okay? Now, Brett Gowans, our executive minister, is going to come up here and talk us through a few more specifics and also give us a little coaching on today's ministry fair.
All right, well, thank you, Ronnie. I always appreciate your thoughts and insights. You know, it's been a lot of fun to work with Ronnie over the last 6 to 7 months. I've known him for a very long time. As Ronnie likes to joke, we've known each other since I had a full head of hair, which for me, it seems like a lifetime, but that's okay. Yours is coming. As the song said earlier, you know, the Lord gives and He takes away, and that happens to all of us. But I think it's really neat, you know, getting to work with Ronnie these 6 or 7 months. It's fun because we've gotten to do a lot of one-on-one, which I didn't in the first 25, 26 years that I knew him. And I'll just stand up here and tell you guys, Ronnie really is the real deal. I mean, what you see here on Sunday is really what he believes and how he acts. And I think that's really important in a senior minister. And I think this church is very blessed to have him. So when you see him, you might tell him thanks for that service. I think it's great. All right, so here's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to talk about the ministry fair. Ronnie's done a great job of kind of walking us through, you know, why do we volunteer? Why do we serve? Why do we get out of the boat? Why do we take that step? And so today, let me talk to you about the ministry fair in two ways. I'm going to tell you what it's not and then what it is. And in three ways, it's not in three ways that it is. First of all, the ministry fair today is not going to be a guilt trip. This is not a chance for you to go out here and feel like, oh, I haven't done enough or I haven't done something yet. We want you to serve out of a glad and sincere heart. We want you guys to take that step and serve in your place of passion, because we believe that people who serve passionately serve effectively. You know, around the office, we call it contagious personal service, because that personal service, that second mile service, is really what helps people see the love of Jesus, and it spreads the love of Jesus. And so that's what today is about, is really spreading that. Secondly, this is not a competition between ministries. You're not going to go out there and hear an auction or see a fight between different ministries saying, oh, you need to come serve in worship, or you got to go be in facilities, or you need to be in children's. If you're already serving in a ministry, that's great. All right, that's where we want you to be. That's where we want you to stay. We want you to be effective in that ministry. But if you haven't found a place, find one. Find that place that's right for you. And then third, it is not a time for you to make a 180-degree change. This is not a day for you to go, I'm going to turn completely around. You know, Ronnie introduced this concept several months back about a 2-degree change. I don't know if you guys remember this, but I thought it was really great. And it was really true in my life. This has been about 6 or 7 years ago. In December of 2005, I remember waking up one morning and thinking, I can't believe all the places that I hurt. Have you guys ever had that? You know, it got to the point to where I started inventorying the places that I felt good versus the places that I hurt, and I only came up with one or two. And so I made a decision in my life. I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Tomorrow morning when I get up, I'm going to work out. Now, what I used to would have done is I would have gotten up and worked out so hard that I would have been so sore that I couldn't have moved for 3 or 4 weeks. And so I see some of you shaking your head and going, yeah, I've done that before. Maybe some of you even did it this week, right? That's why half the people can just barely get their arms above their shoulders. So what I did is I said, okay, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up, I'm going to do 2 push-ups and 2 sit-ups and 2 squats. And I'm going to do that for 2 weeks. And then after that, I doubled it. And then after that, I doubled it. And after that, I doubled it. Well, at the end of the year, I ended up becoming so fit that I actually ran the Houston Marathon. Now, I did not wake up January 1st thinking, I'm going to go run the marathon tomorrow. I woke up thinking, I'm going to make those incremental changes until I'm at the point to where I can do my goal, I can reach my goal. And that's what today is about. It's the time for you to take that little step, whatever that little change is in service. And we're not looking for you to jump in and be here 20 hours a week. What we're saying is, how about one Sunday a month, one Sunday every 2 months? Just find that frequency that makes sense for you. So what will the ministry fair be today? One, it's going to be a time for you to pray. You know, in that ministry fair handout, you'll see there's a scripture from Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he'll make your path straight. And that's what we want today to be. We want this to be about you and God and where God is leading you. Because we trust as a church that God is leading us, and we want to do all that together. We want to take that next step with you. This is also an opportunity for you to join a team. You can join as an individual. You can join as a family. There are service opportunities all over. You know, on our tech team, we've got mother-daughters serving. We've got fathers and sons. And we have individuals. We've got college students where that's the place they plug in. Next weekend, we're going to have a work day here at the church, and you'll see a lot of families come out and do this service project together. We want you guys to find what works for you and what works for your family. And then lastly, what today will be is an insight into our ministries here at First Colony. You know, our ministries here at First Colony are divided into 15 leadership teams, and these teams are made up of staff and elders and deacons and other church leaders. And when you go outside, what you'll see is 13 of these 15 ministries represented. And so if you're curious about how we do things or where things fall or who's the staff person to contact or who's the elder that's over that, you'll see all of that on display when you go outside. So that's what the ministry fair is. This is more about you taking that next step, more about you finding your place to plug in with us. And let me talk to you a little bit about how to do that today. When you go outside, you'll see all of these booths set up around the gathering hall in the lobby. And there will be a, if we can go ahead and put the, there's a card, a couple slides that have a card for the ministry fair. So you see a bunch of these cards around, and on the back side, it's got a place for five blanks. It's got your name, your email address, your phone number, the role that you would like to serve in, and then when you can start. This is the same form for every ministry, any role that you want to fill. And if you're a member, let me just say real quick, even if you're a member and you think we already have your email address and your phone number, go ahead and update it for us, because we get those wrong a lot, and that'll help us in this event. Grab one of those, fill it out, and turn it in anywhere. You can turn it in at any booth, to any minister. We'll get those in, and we'll contact you in the next week. But we want these roles to be something that you can jump into immediately. We want this to be a place you can serve tomorrow and that you can be involved. Because being involved here is that it's that go aspect of our gather, grow, go vision that helps us all to take that next step in life and take that next step of growth. All right, so that's it for the ministry fair. We'll head out to that in just a minute. Before we do that, let me remind you about communication cards. In your order of worship, you'll find a communication card. On one side, it's got a information for you to register your visit with us. On the back side, it's got a place where you can add a prayer request if you would like to do that, and then at the end of the service, we'll collect these. But before we do that, let me go ahead and invite our elders to come on up to the front or head to the back for our prayer time. Prayer time is very important to us. Prayer is important to us here at First Colony, and we believe in the power of prayer. So if you've got something that's going on in your life that you would like to share with someone else, or a time that you'd like to pray, this is the right time. This is the perfect time for that. Greg? That's all.